Welcome, welcome everyone. My name is Sean, and today I want to talk about what is going on in the state of California now that it has come into effect that their minimum wage for fast food workers with large chains that have over whatever number of stores has jumped from $16 an hour to $20 an hour, because what we are seeing is all the predictable consequences one could expect, and despite what we were told time and time again about a great number of people being willing to pay just a little bit more money so that these people can have a so-called living wage, in reality, in actuality, sales are going to drop and people are going to lose their jobs. But before we get into that, this video is sponsored. So let me toss it to the sponsor, then we'll bring it back over here and we'll talk about it on the other side. Some of my fondest memories growing up as a child are waking up for Saturday morning cartoons and pouring myself a big bowl of cereal. But the thing is, as an adult, somebody who's trying to watch my carb intake, watch my sugar, that's not something that agrees with my current lifestyle, or at least it didn't. Until I discovered Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon is a wholesome throwback kind of brand that meets the adult needs of people that are looking to still have some delicious cereal. It has no sugar, 0 grams of it. It also contains, depending on the flavor, 13 to 14 grams of protein and 4 to 5 net carbs per serving. By the way, the serving's 140 calories, but delicious in every bite. As you can see, I've been kind of going through the chocolate right now. This one is obviously my favorite, but next up on my list to try is the frosted one. I mean, because come on, this is about my throwback, my youth, and restoring that. Now, not only does Magic Spoon offer the cocoa and the frosted variety, but there's also the fruity and the peanut butter variety, so you could take your taste buds back on whatever nostalgic journey you want to go on. On top of that, gluten and grain free. So if you have celiac disease, guess what? You can have cereal. You can live those childhood memories in an absolutely delicious way. And the taste, I mean, speaks for itself. I know this is a weird thing for me to appreciate, but it turns my milk chocolatey, just like back in the day. I'm going to eat. I'll tell you the promo code and all that in a minute. Now, if you guys want to try Magic Spoon, get yourself the variety pack with the 4 flavors that I just listed. What you want to do is go to magicspoon.com/AJW. Use the promo code AJW to get yourself $5 off that order. And guess what? Magic Spoon is so confident in their formula. They're so confident that this will be a throwback deliciously crafted for you. They're offering a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So what are you doing? Scan the QR code on screen. Go to magicspoon.com/AJW and join me for Saturday morning cartoons with a bowl of cereal. So this all started last year in September when California Governor Gavin Newsom signed into law Assembly Bill 1287, which raised the wages for fast food workers that are in chains from $16 to $20 an hour. Now, this has been controversial for a great number of reasons. First and foremost, one of Gavin Newsom's primary supporters owns a bunch of different Panera breads, and there's actually a carve out in this particular wage increase for restaurants that have baked goods that are baked on site that exist prior to the implementation of this law. And when you work out all the details, what you find out, that is, it's an exemption for Panera Bread.
Now we're learning that some companies, as you mentioned, will be exempt from this, which brings us to Panera Bread. Because of the franchise, they bake bread at their restaurants. They are not considered fast food, according to this new minimum wage law. The law states that restaurants which bake their own bread and also sell it as the standalone item do not fall into the category of fast food, even though some customers consider them to be so. There is now an investigation into this loophole, especially in light of some financial contributions made by Panera Bread franchise owner Greg Flynn, who reportedly donated more than $150,000 to Newsom's campaign. And this is according to Bloomberg News.
And considering Newsom's largest donors, or one of his largest donors, is from Panera Bread, you understand why from the jump it's already controversial. But the other reason that it's controversial is because even though it's good politics, it's bad policy. Now, I want to say right off the top, as somebody who worked at Five Guys for a very brief period of time, working fast food is hard. It does suck, and I'm not one of these people who sneers at people who says that they don't deserve X amount of wage, because in reality, my opinion of the skill level, or your opinion of the skill level required, or your opinion of how hard they're working, is not what dictates wages. The market dictates wages. And what this is about is not the character of the fast food workers, the skill level that is required, which, let's be honest, is not very high, or the level of hard work that they put into these jobs, which, let's be honest, is actually pretty high. It's about whether or not the market can sustain those wages. And what we found out is that this is not the case. Reportedly, they've already lost around 9,500 fast food jobs. A bunch of different places are closing. And we have a segment from Good Morning America where they're talking about how prices are going up and consumers are very upset.
Yeah, I am hearing from customers every day who say they are already feeling that sticker shock. Restaurants have been warning about this since September when California voted to increase large fast food chain's minimum wage by 25% from $16 to $20 an hour. In that time, restaurants in the state have increased prices by 10% faster than all other states, according to Data Essentials.
Now, the reason I open up this video by saying that minimum wage is good politics, because it just is proven out by the facts, these increases are overwhelmingly popular, yet bad policy, is because despite the popularity, every single study that examines minimum wage shows us the very same thing. If you raise it, you will lose some jobs during the process. And those outlier studies that all these different left-wingers like to point to as proof positive that you're actually not costing any jobs all give the caveat when you actually read the study rather than the summary from the Economic Policy Institute, Robert Reich, or whatever left-wing source, that the reason there wasn't a decrease in employment is because whatever industry was able to pass on the cost to the consumers. This is a basic law of economics. If you raise the price of something, you will in fact get less people paying for it. It's true for consumer goods, it's true for fast food in terms of the product, and it's also true for labor. So, of course, California decided that they were going to do this because it is unbelievably and undeniably expensive to live in the state of California. And rather than address the issues on why it's so expensive, like zoning and the fact that it's almost impossible to build any kind of housing, oppressive taxation, or anything like that, they've decided to blame the big corporations. So we got this fast food minimum wage increase, and it's going exactly as expected.
The California Restaurant Association says the price hikes were entirely predictable results of the minimum wage increase. Since it took effect, job losses, reduced working hours, restaurant closures, and higher prices for California's inflation-weary customers have been ongoing, the group said.
Now, I talked about how California fast food restaurants cut about 9,500 jobs, but this was disproportionately felt by Pizza Hut, who was the biggest job cutter, who actually fired nearly 1,300 delivery drivers. Also, El Pollo Loco and Jack in the Box announced that they will speed up the use of robotics, including robots that make salsa and cook fried foods. Now, there's actually a very good reason why I wanted to highlight Pizza Hut and Jack in the Box, and by the way, all these other fast food companies saying that they're going to move toward robotics, and of course, the kiosks that don't actually require a clerk, is because this is the obvious stuff that we should have been alert to, because we've been seeing signs of fast food companies moving in this direction, but at the previous wage, at the previous moment in time, it was just not something that was such an obvious trade-off for them to go in that particular direction. So let's start with the Pizza Hut drivers. Now, is Pizza Hut still going to have delivery? Of course, 100%. Now, Pizza Hut basically was perfectly fine paying their delivery drivers $16 an hour, having them get the tips that you people give to your drivers when they end up bringing pizza to you. But instead, what they're actually going to pivot over to is Uber Eats, DoorDash, and all these different various delivery app services that charge you guys a bunch of fees, and guess what? Are actually not covered by the minimum wage increase. So now, instead of you having your pizza delivered to you by an employee who is actually paid a regular ordinary wage who gets your tips, you're gonna have to go through DoorDash, Uber Eats, whatever, whichever one of these apps that charges you exorbitant fees in order to compensate for that. So instead of employees, we now have an increase in contractors, which, by the way, the sharing economy, which is the gig economy, which is the contractor economy, is in direct response to rules and regulations around labor, because people want to work, but they cannot normally get employed under the conditions that are set out by governments like the one in the state of California. So great job to everybody. You just put more downward pressure on Uber Eats delivery drivers' wages while firing people who were working regular ordinary jobs at Pizza Hut. Now, not only do you have the issue with Pizza Hut, and not only do you have the issue with a further push towards automation, which some people are going to say they were going to do that anyway. So I guess it's good policy to accelerate that. But you also have the idea that this is somehow going to benefit adults, because I don't know if you guys are aware of this. The overwhelming majority of people who work fast food in the state of California, they're not teenagers like you dumb idiots think. They're adults, except here's the thing, that it is also incredibly deceptive.
The wage increase is meant to give more financial security to the more than 500,000 people who work in fast food restaurants in California and are not teenagers but adults working to support their families.
Now, while it is true that a majority of fast food workers are in fact not teenagers, 30% of them are, and the next 30% are actually between the ages of 20 and 24 years old. So this is around a college age workforce, and in fact, that means that a majority, 60%, are actually 24 and younger, therefore unlikely to be supporting a whole family. Now, when you compare and contrast fast food workers to the overall economy, only 13% of the workforce in the broader economy is under the age of 24. So what we have right now is California doing something that felt good, big fast food companies, giant corporate profits. We gotta help those families in an industry that is overwhelmingly and disproportionately not filled with people who are trying to support their family. And again, if you are trying to support your family, I'm not against you getting a higher wage per se. It's just the fact of the matter is, this is costing people jobs, it's creating problems, and getting paid $16 an hour is much better than getting paid $0 an hour, which is the wage that you will make when your fast food joint ends up shutting down. And we've also seen a bunch of different shutdowns of these fast food restaurants that seemingly are reported by the news as a surprise, even though, again, this is something that was warned about for a very long time. Now, look, there are a bunch of different news articles that talk about a group of restaurants shutting down here and there. There's a Foster Freeze I often see referenced, which is an ice cream franchise that I never heard of. It must be something outside of my region. But I do want to caution people from just highlighting these and going with your confirmation bias, because one of these chains that I looked into called Mod Pizza did have some restaurants shut down, five in the state of California, post the wage increase, but they've also had about 30 locations shut down nationwide. So this could be a situation where that franchise is already struggling. But the thing is, if you have these fast food restaurants already struggling, there's already upward pressure on wages, which, by the way, we've seen with them offering all these different various bonuses in order to get people to take these jobs, putting additional pressure on these restaurants is obviously going to lead to negative consequences. Now, while the Foster Freeze appears to have given the employees advance notice that they weren't going to be able to operate as soon as this kicks in, I will also point out that some of these Mod Pizza did not give the employees notice, so they ended up completely screwed over. And if this is attributable to the minimum wage, I just find that to be absolutely horrible, thinking that you're going to get a 25% pay increase only to show up to work and realize that the place is shut down. But one of the other things that I think is absolutely crucial, that is something that we should look at and examine, because we're told all the time through the polling, through people's stated preference, that they're willing to pay more money if that means that the employees can have a living wage, is that this is often not the case. In fact, some of the very same people who pushed Starbucks to raise their wages to a livable wage got angry at them for raising the price of the latte. By the way, some of these people, I believe, called for an investigation into Starbucks for doing so, even though the price increase that we saw at Starbucks was attributable to two things. First and foremost, they agreed to raise the wages of their employees and pay them benefits that people on the left said that they were willing to pay extra for. And two, they actually were in the business of coffee, if you guys are unaware, and that is one of the industries that was most shocked by the supply chain issues during the course of the pandemic. So even this place that had completely legitimate reasons for raising their prices, that actually was doing things that the left wing wanted, they were not willing to pay, so much so that you had people like Robert Reich demanding an investigation into them based on a slight increase in the price of a latte. So I would like to examine that, go going forward with these particular fast food locations. Now that California has the highest priced fast food in the nation, I want to know what people are going to do. Will they seek alternatives? Will this inadvertently lead to an increase in health? Or will people decide that they're going to go with smaller restaurants that are just as bad for you calorically, that are going to probably have cheaper products because they also have to deal with upward pressure on their wages, and they're going to compensate by doing that? Or I just want to know what the outcome is going to be.
Well, Nicole, nearly a month after California's fast food minimum wage jumped to $20 an hour, some customers have been fast to change their habits, just as critics had predicted. The sharp pay hike from $16 to $20 an hour kicked in on April 1st, triggering higher menu prices everywhere. At this Chick-fil-A, many breakfast combos now well over $10. At In-N-Out, the popular double-double is now nearly $6. In some parts of LA, a Big Mac will set you back by $5, a Chipotle burrito by over $10.
You know, one of the most annoying things about being in such an economically illiterate country is that you have these reports about these obvious consequences that anybody could have seen coming, that people warned about, and they're being reported on the news like they're a shock, like it's something that you should be surprised about, even though, again, every single study shows that increasing the minimum wage, which quite literally means you're criminalizing employment below a certain amount, below a certain wage, ends up reducing jobs. And the fringe outlier studies that the left wing drags out to say, no, actually it doesn't, even though those are clearly the anomalies, often have the caveat that the only way you're able to maintain employment is if the employer is able to successfully pass off the wage increase to the customers. But you know what? None of this matters when you have people say, the CEO of McDonald's makes this many millions of dollars, therefore, economically illiterate policies that end up costing the lowest wage workers their jobs is good and moral and sound and dandy, because in reality and actuality, that's exactly the type of arguments that people on the left are making. Moral arguments. They're not making economic arguments. They don't even care about whether or not their policies actually help people. The fact is, you feel good when you pass minimum wage increases, even though 9,500 people don't have jobs, and a bunch of people who are delivering pizzas at Pizza Hut for $16 an hour, perfectly fine, plus tips, are also out of work. But hey, I guess they can sign up over on Uber Eats and deal with the low wages that you end up dealing with when you're delivering for them. But you know what? Those are just my thoughts. Let me know your thoughts down in the comments below. If you like the video, show them by leaving a like, subscribe for more content, follow me on all my social media, support and view the support links in the description of this video. This has been me talking about the minimum wage disaster. Till next time.